You will be hearing some Van Halen today. Certainly, we're mourning the loss of Eddie Van Halen if you're in a certain age demographic or even a little bit younger and appreciate that era.
As a guitar player.
Is the case with Chase, yes.
As a guitar player, I love Eddie Van Halen.
Yeah. Sad news yesterday for sure. Lost his, I shouldn't say lost. Died, had been battling cancer for a long, long time. And so we mourn the loss of Eddie Van Halen. But so much going on, but you will hear some great Van Halen today in tribute. We just were speculating whether Stephon Gilmore was on the plane of the people that were close to Cam Newton, and Mark Daniels from the Providence Journal has tweeted out, yes, that was the case for Stephon Gilmore. So another implication of the league protocols and questioning the decision of handling the Cam Newton situation, it looks like it's getting more complicated. With that in mind, let's go to another team that resides in that division, the 4-0 Buffalo Bills. Their play-by-play announcer, John Murphy, is on the line with us. And John, first of all, thanks a lot for taking the time with us. I know this is pretty chaotic here, and I know there's probably a lot on your mind and a lot on your plate as you figure out what the next move is. But I do want to pass along a couple of people that have strong Buffalo ties, told me to tell you hello. Jerry Helper and Pete Weber, a good friend of yours from the Nashville Predators.
Oh, yeah, both good guys. Yeah, they both at one point or another were affiliated with the Buffalo Sabres, the hockey team up here. Good guys, both good guys.
No question. And so, John, where do we start? I mean, the Bills are learning things about the team they just played with the Raiders and all the things that were going on there. They get the win. They're having this extremely exciting season, but now they don't know what their next move is here.
Yeah, I mean, I got as many questions for you as you would have for me. I think... Yeah, you know, Sean McDermott in about 15 minutes will have his weekly Wednesday Zoom news conference, and I plan on getting on with that at the bottom of this hour to kind of figure out where his head's at. They have announced that they do have practice outdoors scheduled for about an hour after McDermott meets the media, about 12:30 Eastern time. So we'll see. I mean, I think they're proceeding as business as usual, but it certainly is not business as usual. I'm having trouble trying to figure out how the Titans are ready to play if they've got more COVID positive COVID tests. But we'll wait and see, I guess. Wait and see what happens. I'm ready. I did my spotting board last night. I started to watch video last night. So if there is a game, I'm starting to know the Titans a little bit. So I'm good. I'm glad about that.
Yeah, as a guy that's done some play-by-play, I would imagine you had to be pretty creative on the spotters board with all the guys that the Titans have on the COVID list. You might have a, you know, a highlighter for those guys because it doesn't look like they would be available. And as you said, we don't know if the whole team will be available. We don't know when they can get back in their facility. So here's the question everybody's kicking around, John, is especially from the Bills' perspective, would they be in favor of a forfeit, or would they be willing to play a Week 18, which I guess has been speculated, or would they be okay with, okay, some teams might have to play 15 games?
Yeah, that's a really difficult question. I'm reluctant to answer on behalf of the Bills. I mean, a forfeit would be obviously a win, and certainly you have a hard time turning your nose up at that, but I don't think anyone would feel good about accepting a forfeit in this situation. A Week 18, I guess, works, but, you know, so they can schedule it now for Week 18, but the way things are going, you know, they may need a Week 19 and then Week 20, not just the Bills, but someone else in the NFL. So I don't know what's going to happen. You know, the Bills have a bye week scheduled for November 22nd, which is still open now. Next week they play home against the Kansas City Chiefs on Thursday night, and that, I guess, could be mobile. That game might move. I think everything's in a state of flux right now. I'm not quite sure. I don't know what the Bills would want. I don't think, knowing Sean McDermott, I don't think he would really be real happy about accepting a forfeit, even though, you know, it's easy money. It's like winning the lottery, I guess. But
right.
I don't know. I'm not sure what would be the best scenario for the Bills. I think the best scenario for the Bills is to keep having no positive COVID tests. But the way it's going around, it's hard to imagine that happening. You know, so far they have had nobody test positive.
That is really good news. And did you have any thought when the game was going on with the Raiders? Were you aware of the charity event and the fines that had been laid down for them? Was there any concern on the Bills' part for that game?
Yeah, I think there was. It was talked about last week that the charity event was the week before. I think the Monday night before the Bills went to Vegas to play the Raiders last Sunday, and there was discussion about it. Darren Waller, the tight end, had a, I'm sure, a great charity that his teammates attended and were photographed not wearing masks. And there was discussion about it beforehand. Excuse me. Sean McDermott was asked about it last week, and he said, we're concerned. We understand what the implications are, but we're going to go out and play. And, yeah, I was concerned, certainly. I think everybody was concerned when those reports came out. There were reports, too, that the league was investigating, and, you know, they came out with their penalties just the other day after the Bills played at Las Vegas.
Jace?
Yeah, we're talking some Buffalo Bills here with John Murphy, the play-by-play man there in Buffalo. So, I mean, let's look at the positives of this, because we originally had you on to preview this team. I mean, things clearly going well in Buffalo right now. One of the best starts that they've had. So what is the buzz like in your market about a 4-0 Bills team that's leading the division?
Yeah, there's a lot of buzz, quite frankly, and a lot of buzz around the offense. And, you know, the Bills had a 17-year playoff drought that ended in 2017. And throughout those 17 years, they really never had a high-powered offense, mostly because they never really had a quarterback. But now they've got the quarterback, Josh Allen, who is he's been on fire through the first four games. He's been outstanding. I think he's emerging as a candidate for league-wide MVP, to be frank with you. And he's been great. You know, the Bills are the second-ranked passing offense in the league. They still have room to grow in the run game. The defense has been okay, not great. It's been all good, all positive. And I think, if I can speak for at least Bills fan base, they were looking forward to a test at Tennessee this weekend, you know, if in fact it doesn't happen. They were looking forward to seeing how they fare against a pretty good Tennessee Titans team that had that great run in the postseason last year. And then, of course, the Kansas City game on Thursday night awaits after that.
I think one of the big questions of the offseason, not just with your team but the NFL, was how is Stephon Diggs going to fit there in Buffalo? I mean, he had a successful career in Minnesota, comes over there. I mean, we've seen it on the field, but just from the overall Bills life, the standpoint, how have you seen him fit in?
He's been great. He really has. Yeah, I think people were not concerned, but wondering if he would be a culture fit with what is a pretty strong team culture here with the Buffalo Bills. And he certainly has. You know, he's setting personal records, first four games of a season with 39 catches. He has 403 yards receiving so far this season. But beyond the numbers, he's just been a good teammate. And look, I mean, Josh Allen is the reason why the Bills are the number two passing attack in the NFL through the first quarter of the season. But they really have a good wide receiving core, led by Stephon Diggs, their number one guy. But John Brown is an outstanding receiver. Cole Beasley came over from the Cowboys a couple of years ago. He's a great slot receiver and possession-type receiver. They're getting big contributions from a rookie, Gabriel Davis, who played at Central Florida. He was a fourth-round pick. And even this past week at the Raiders, even their fifth and sixth receivers chipped in. I think it's sort of undersold a little bit. Everybody's focused on Allen and how good he's been, but he's really getting great contributions from his receiving core. And it's a receiving core that has really been rebuilt over 2 years. I give a lot of credit to Brandon Beans, general manager, for putting this group together different ways, you know, drafting some of them, acquiring some in free agency, and, of course, making the trade for Stephon Diggs. He's been a great fit for this Buffalo offense.
When we talk about coaches around the NFL, I mean, you know, there are a lot of names that come up of, okay, yeah, you know, those are some great coaches. But Sean McDermott's name to me comes up as a guy that is underrated and doesn't get just due, in my opinion, sometimes. I mean, what he's done since he's been in Buffalo, how he's slowly built that thing up, and obviously it goes around the quarterback, but I think he's done a tremendous job. Is the feeling in Buffalo that he does get his just due, or is he underrated?
I think he's underrated. I think people appreciate that. Back in August, in the middle of the Bills training camp, their preseason training camp, they extended his contract. He's in year four of an original five-year deal, and it's been extended pretty much indefinitely. And that's, you know, he's got this team, as I said, they had a 17-year playoff drought, and they've been in the playoffs two of the last 3 years. They're on the way to making the playoffs and maybe going deep in the playoffs this year. He's a great fit for this town. You know, he kind of gets it. He understands the culture. He understands what fans are looking for. He's a no-nonsense guy. He is a player's coach, but a different kind of player's coach. That doesn't mean, you know, players are running all over him. He listens to his players and accommodates their wishes and changes things if the players really want it. But very organized, I think he's sort of an outlier in the NFL in many ways in the way he approaches coaching football and the way he approaches getting his team ready to play. And I think he's, you know, we'll see how this season winds up, but he's certainly going to be a candidate for Coach of the Year if they keep playing the way they are right now, that's for sure.
Well, it's been a great story. John, thank you so much for joining us. I know you got to run so you can get ready to listen to your coach, but we hope you get to call a game on Sunday, if you know what we mean, but even though it looks a little bleak right now, but congratulations on the great start, and we'll talk to you again down the road.
Okay, thanks, Thomas.
All right, that's John Murphy, voice of the Buffalo Bills. And what is next? Just while we were talking with him, there's more stuff coming up, coming out from the Patriots camp.
Yeah, that's not good.
Sportsnet tweets out that Patriots practice, and of all that, of all things, Sportsnet, I'm not sure how they have that. It's probably coming from other people as well. This is what I just saw. But the Patriots have canceled practice amid reports that a third player has tested positive for COVID-19. It can't be a surprise, though. You put 20 guys on a plane that were with Cam Newton. That's a bad recipe. That's a bad recipe.
Let me ask
you. Now we know from the Providence Journal that Stephon Gilmore was one of the guys on the plane. It's inevitable that there's going to be more, right?
Oh, I agree. I mean,
it'd be a miracle if there weren't.
Let me ask both of you guys this. Just give me a percentage that all games are played, that the games are played this weekend, or could you see this going toward, like, any of the games? What I'm saying is, do you think this is going towards the league may need to call timeout and get this under control?
Because I don't think you do.
Because it's not just one team now.
Oh, I don't think you. I think you play whatever games you can play.
So, like baseball does.
You have to fight through. That's the only way. But this is what's disappointing. That the Titans made a mistake similar, it appears, to what the Marlins and the Cardinals did. So, unfortunately, they didn't learn from the baseball. Now, we're human, right? To err is human. But then, on top of that, the league they didn't learn from the Titans' mistake, right? They
exactly.
Allowed the Patriots to then make a similar mistake. They made minor adjustments, but it was clear they were walking into the same possible situation, traveling knowing that you had somebody that had the virus and he was around other people. So that doesn't look good. And I have to say, we did say it before they played the game on Monday. We were questioning, you know, as we went to the air, the Patriots were flying to Kansas City. But over the weekend, I was scratching my head going, this doesn't make sense.
What are they doing?
Right? This doesn't make sense. We were saying it on the front end, but they walked right into the same trap. So I don't know about the league timeout, Chase, but it's unfortunate. And in baseball, it's not like they were perfect, right? There were other, but I think it's safe to say that they improved over the season of limiting what happened and doing a better job. Like the Mets, for example, the team I follow, they had an issue later in the season after the Cardinals and Marlins had big problems, right? They had to stop for a long time, and they had to play a ton of doubleheaders. Of course, both teams made it to the playoffs. But the Mets had a similar situation, but they were able to keep it controlled because they handled it right away. They handled it correctly, and it only was a couple of days before they could get back on the field. And so it was a much shorter period out. Then later, after that,
right,
the Padres and Giants had a situation. And again, they knew what to do. They kept it under control, and it was only about a day before they could get back in there. But everything is different.
Right.
Every situation is different. But I'm just saying that you have to be able to learn from what's happened before.
And I totally agree with that. But here's the issue. Like when we make the comparisons to baseball, baseball had wiggle room. The NFL doesn't. The NFL doesn't have scheduling wiggle room. Now, they may have to create it. They may have to move some things that they don't want to move around. I mean, are they willing to move the Super Bowl to mid-February? Because they may have to. They may not have a choice. If they want to play it, they may have to. But that's the issue in all of this, that any of these missteps, whether it's by a team or by the league, it's costing them time that they don't have, because they really don't have the room. They could do week 18 because you have that gap week in between the championship games and the Super Bowl, but that's all they have built in right now. You're going to have to move some dates if you want to add a week 19 or have more of a buffer.
I can't see a week 19. I think you got to have one week to play games of significance, and you might have to entertain the idea of some teams don't play 16 games.
See, I think they're more. I think you're more likely to see a week 19 than see that. I think the
really?
NFL wants 16 games out of every team.
Or do you think they just give another, like, give each team like maybe an extra bye week too? I mean, you're going to have to be flexible with your schedule, but I mean, at this rate, the Titans are playing 13 games. Because there's a good chance Buffalo's not being played.
Well, I've always said that the NFL needs two bye weeks.
Yeah. I mean, you
especially when they go to 17.
Yeah. Throw in like a week 18 or an extra bye week, because as of right now, we have a potential for one team to only play three quarters of a season, and other teams maybe play 15, 14, 15, 16 games. And because of the Titans, they could maybe all play a little less. So, I mean, maybe a season pause for a week might not be the worst idea in the world, just to get teams to heal up. Now, everyone would have to follow along certain guidelines. You couldn't meet up outside of the training facility to run routes or go over things like the Titans have been alleged of doing, or else you're just going to make this problem even worse and back up everything an extra week. But at what point do you have to say we have to do something like that? Because
that's my
the
point.
Titans, like I said, I'm kind of like on Chase's side in terms of they're going to have to do something drastic for a week or so just to get everybody, maybe not on the same page, but the same chapter. Because at this rate, Titans are playing 11 or 12 games, because I highly doubt this game against Buffalo is being played. And all it's going to take is three or four more tests next week for us to be having the same conversation next Wednesday.
Right, because if they restarted this thing, because that's what it kind of feels like, that we had 2 days of negative tests, and now there's a report that maybe some guys gather to work out together.
You know, I'd like to know when that was.
The fire was almost out. It was barely lit, and they rekindled it. That's kind of what this feels like. Now, again, if that's the case, then is the NFL going to step in and do something about it, or are they just going to keep trying to move things around? That's where the league needs to say something. But again, this is one of those things, just like we had when the virus started. We would answer one question and then another one would pop up. Like, that's what's happening.
It's
right,
like whack-a-mole.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what's going on. But I don't think it's out of the question to think about a league-wide pause just to get this under control. Because right now, it's like a ref that's lost the game. It is not under control. You got the Raiders having one, the Patriots. This is going to get worse before it gets better for the Patriots.
I think you're right about the Patriots, and I think it's obvious to see why. I think you wonder what's going to happen in the next few days with the Raiders, but I still stop short of saying you have to pause the whole league because of that. I think you have to be prepared for this to pop up from one time or another throughout the season, especially as the weather gets colder, time goes on. We're only in week 5. So you're going to have to get creative. You might have to just come to the realization that there might be several teams that play less than 16 games, even if you have a week 18. But then what's your plan after week 18? Because I think you have to really consider the bubble at that point if you really want to have assurances that you could get through your postseason.
Oh, they have to. They have to at this point.
Yeah, you could have divisional bubbles, or at least have everybody play at least 6 games and then finish out your division season in that bubble, and then maybe you get up to 10 games, everybody at the same time playing all at least X amount of games, so you could at least base a playoff on some sort of a regular season. If you don't do that, I mean, we're just going to have the same problem. And if the NFL didn't have any plan outside of moving bye weeks and having a week 18, then they wasted months of the summer getting ready for this season. Because, like Willie said, like, this was inevitable. We knew this was going to happen. And if your only plan was to move around the one bye week each team gets a year, or maybe add one extra week, then Roger Goodell and the NFL really dropped the ball, because they had the luxury of time all summer long. And we're still scratching our heads at what we're going to do, because one team or two teams has had a breakout. Or an outbreak, when teams in Major League Baseball had an outbreak and they had to figure it out on the fly. The NFL didn't have to figure it out on the fly. They could have had a contingency plan. They could have thrown out right now and say, okay, well, here's what happens if there's an outbreak, and the team has to miss multiple weeks, because an outbreak won't just last 1 week. The virus doesn't say, you know what? We've already cost the Titans one game. We should probably stop moving across the locker room so they can get ready for the Bills on Sunday.
Right.
It's not going to work that way. And if they don't have that plan right now and it's not being exercised at this very moment, then they wasted months of their time in that were valuable months that could prepare you for this specific idea or outbreak.
All the league reporters I've heard reference, they have contingency plans. They have plan B, but we'll wait and see when they
well,
start
they might need
unveiling
that.
That.
They might need plan C. Here's a quick point on this, though. And I don't know if it's because somebody texted me this morning. It was like they sat on their behind. And I don't know if it's necessarily that, because I do believe they have some sort of contingency plan. But I also think that they trusted their people too much. They trusted that the players and the coaches and everybody would listen to the protocols and be smart and not get complacent. And that's exactly what Roger Goodell said in the memo of complacency. You know, I can't remember exactly how he worded it, but you know, complacency is an opponent of ours, and that's what's happening. We've seen, yeah. I think we've seen evidence of teams getting complacent because it's just like, all right, same old routine. And so the NFL trusted that everybody could do this for 16 games and not have any faux pas. Well, now they have, and now it's spiraled out of control, because now you have the Titans that have been affected for the last 2 weeks. The Patriots are starting theirs. They're starting to get affected. And oh, by the way, let's not pretend the Chiefs are out of the woods by any means, because I don't think they are. We've seen this. I mean, we know
well,
that
apparently there's
that
a picture of Stephon Gilmore with Patrick Mahomes during the game,
right,
or after the game or something. Yeah, you certainly keep your fingers crossed.
There's the incubation period.
Point. Oh, yeah. So, well, if you don't know about that by now, you know, if you've been following any form of the news, you learn that that's the tricky part. Even if you test every day, multiple times a day, you can't know what's coming down the pike 2 or 3 days. Not now. Maybe that's a critical thing in the coming months that would be a great breakthrough. If we don't have a vaccine, the next best thing might be a test that could give you more immediate results pick up what we don't know now, which is I could be carrying it. It tests negative for several days and then be positive 4 or 5 days from now. Okay, let's step away for a moment, take a deep breath, because we'll get back to this for sure, because I do want to hit on the point.
We have a few texts that I want to read, too, when we come back.
Okay, yeah, and if you want to weigh in, we'd love to hear your reaction. Brought to you by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Just call or text us at 615-737-1025. Deep breath for a moment. The NHL draft is starting back up now, and there's a big trade to get it started. Matt Murray, the goalie that beat the Predators in the Stanley Cup final, won 2 Stanley Cups for the Penguins, has been traded to the Ottawa Senators to get things cranked up. So there's a little start to that. We'll follow the Predators, who have 2 second-round picks and 2 third-round picks, so they'll be very busy today. We'll step away for a moment and be back in a moment here on 102.5 The Game.